Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
Julian, you got to see this.
Hey, 4 o'clock.
Whoa! What are you doing?
I wanted to show you a video.
Why didn't you just text it to me?
We're sitting in the same room.
But you're not sitting. You're doing the opposite of sitting. I don't even remember what you call this.
Standing.
No, that's not it.
Jogging.
I'm standing up.
Shane, it's the 21st century. When are you going to learn to sit down?
Hey, is anyone else's Wi-Fi not working?
What?
It's true. I'm down too.
I feel so alone. No Instagram. No Snapchat.
You okay, man? You don't look too good.
I'm on edge, man. Do you know what it feels like to be on edge?
What are we gonna do?
I don't know.
Hey, guys.
Joe?
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Joe, what are you doing outside?
Well, my internet's not working, so I changed my whole outlook on life. I haven't seen sunlight since I got dial-up in 96.
What's it like, Joe? Tell us.
It's really great, you guys. I highly recommend it.
Don't listen to him, Chester. It isn't safe out there.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go outside.
Would you listen to yourself?
I am, Julian. For the first time in my life.
It can't be.
Yes, Julian. I'm jogging. I haven't done this since I signed up for Hotmail.
You had Hotmail?
No.
Hey guys, the internet's fixed.
I have so enjoyed that video, and you can find it on YouTube if you want. It's called Wi-Fi. Julian Smith is the creator of that, and so I think it's Julian Smith. These two pictures may not be quite accurate for all of us, but I think sometimes it's the way some of us feel. Like our world is being controlled by or consumed by our devices. You know, we're listening to music at the same time that we're on our phones, and maybe there's a computer and a tablet that we're working on. I won't claim that I have done this, although I have at least had two of these going on, but having multiple text conversations going on at the same time. Anybody ever sent the wrong text to the wrong person because you've got multiple text conversations going on at the same time? That can be really embarrassing. Depending on what you were talking, you know, maybe I'm sending a text to my wife, oh, sweetie pie, I love you so much, and it goes to Jack. That would not go over well, but, you know, those type of things can happen. But, maybe you're on Instagram, Snapchat, playing a game at the same time, but What I want to talk about a little bit this morning is many of us live very distracted lives, or as we like to say, we multitask. And in some contexts, maybe it's okay, but what we're going to talk about today, in the context of relationships, being so distracted, being so multitasking, oftentimes works to our disadvantage, and especially in our relationship with God. Distractions do not help us. The title for this morning's message, I hope you have a bulletin, there's a note, a section on the back, but the title for this message is, and this will make sense in a moment, Be Still? Yeah, right. See, there's a verse in the Psalms, and we're going to get to the verse a little later. It'll come up. You don't need it right now. But there's a verse in the Psalms that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And a few months ago, I was reading through the scripture, and this is in the Psalms, and I was reading through that, and I read about that God is telling us, "Be still and know that I'm God." And this was my thought, "Be still?" Yeah, right. Because we're all so busy. And then I had to think, whoa, what is God saying to us? What might he want us to know? So we're going to talk this morning on this theme. I invite you to take your Bible in whatever version or format that you have it. And I invite you to go to Mark's Gospel, the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be reading from verse 29 to 39. And as I gave Sherry the text to read this morning in the public reading of Scripture, I told her to read through verse 12. Should have read through verse 13, so hopefully I've got that right. But I at least know where I think I should stop. Mark chapter 1. Little context, Jesus is early in his ministry. He is performing miracles. He's teaching. Many things are going on. This is a Sabbath day that this takes place, or at least the first events, and then the next events take place the day after the Sabbath. And picking up in verse 29, it says, "After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever." So service is over. Whatever time of day they conducted their service on the Sabbath, doesn't say, doesn't matter. Service is over. They're going home. And Peter's mother was not able to come to service that day because she was ill. She had a high fever. "Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and they helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she went and prepared a meal for them. And that evening after sunset," now please understand, in the Jewish culture, the Sabbath started at sunset the day before and ended at sunset. So it wasn't like from morning to night, it was sunset to sunset. So right when sunset happened, they went into their rest and worship mode. When sunset happened the next day, they could begin to work or they could begin to visit. Well, people came. And it says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. They didn't do it during their Sabbath time, but they came afterwards. And it says the whole town came to the door where of the house where Jesus was staying to watch. "So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak." We don't know how long this went on, but I'm assuming it probably went on for a period of time. So it might have even gone late into the evening. How many people can Jesus heal in a certain period of time? I'm sure there was rejoicing, probably some teaching, various things happening. The day ends, and everybody goes home. Jesus goes to bed. His disciples go to bed. And verse 35 picks it up here. "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But Jesus replied, 'We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came.' So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons." The verse that I want us to look at this morning coming up on the screen is Mark 1:35. "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray." The words that are very important in this passage is he went out to an isolated place to pray. In your notes, first thing that I have there for you is this. Jesus escaped distractions to pray. Jesus escaped distractions to pray. Jesus got out of the house. He got away from people. He got away from the commotion that would be happening in a little while when someone would get up and start the fires for starting the breakfast. Jesus escaped distractions to pray. About a year or so ago, when I was reading this passage and studying it, I actually made some notes in my Bible. Basically, it said this, and then I asked myself a question, And I will tell you what my answer was and then how I changed things. But the question is this, coming up on the screen. It's our second point. Do I bring distractions with me to prayer? Jesus escaped distractions to pray. But do I bring distractions with me to prayer? And I'm going to just share a bit from my own life. If I go to my time of prayer and I take my cell phone with me, or I used to take my pad with me and read the Bible from my pad, I have too many notifications that hit. Somebody texts me. Well, I need to respond because they need an answer. Or an email comes up and it's like, oh my goodness, I forgot to do that. Or, and this is the one that gets me probably more than any, it's just my own brain. You know, I'm reading a passage and I think, oh, I wonder about that. So I will open maybe the internet or something. And as soon as I do, or something else is there, and I end up on social media, and then I end up, you know, maybe searching for this thing, but then finding three other things. What I have done is I have brought distractions with me to prayer. Since I have owned a tablet and a cell phone and even a little bit of a computer, it has impacted my prayer life. The first thing that I did is I stopped reading. It's also impacted my prayer life, my devotional life. I stopped reading the Bible on electronics. Because there's nothing wrong with electronics, I couldn't control everything that interrupted me when I was reading. I'm getting into Mark chapter 1, and I'm thinking about this passage of Scripture, and it vibrates in my hand. Now, how many of you, and if you are, you have better self-control than me, okay? How many of you, when you're reading on your electronics and it vibrates in your hand, can ignore whatever it was that caused the vibration? If you can, show me your hands, and you might be able to do it. I can't. ADD brain, I'm all over the place. As soon as that vibration comes, and it could be nothing more than Subway telling me that they want me to come and buy one and get one free. But because the phone vibrated in my hand, I've got to look at that thing. So the first thing that I did is I stopped all of my devotional reading on devices that I would get notifications because it was a distraction to me. It broke my train of thought. It broke my ability to communicate with the Lord. So I stopped that, but the second thing that I did is I still brought my phone with me because there might be an emergency of some type, right? So now I read from my paper Bible, but sitting on a seat next to me or attached to my hip where it usually is my device. Now I'm not seeing the notifications because not all of my notifications have vibration, only the important ones. Text and those type of things. Still, interruptions. Starting over the past month or so, one of the things that I am doing when I want to spend time with God and I want to spend time in His Word, should be easier than it was, I'm leaving the phone in the office. It's not with me. I am choosing to stop bringing distractions with me to my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Here's a question. Is it possible to be connected to our devices and deeply connected to God at the same time? It's just a question. Of course, you already know my answer, but I want you to think about it. Is it possible to be connected to our devices and deeply connected to God at the same time, right? At the same time. We're going to have time for our devices, just like we have time for God. I'm going to answer the question with a question. Here's the answer to that question with another question coming up on the screen. Is it possible to be connected to our devices and deeply connected to our spouse or another person at the same time? Is it possible to be connected to our devices and deeply connected to our spouse or another person at the same time? Look at these pictures and tell me what you think. These pictures all came from the internet. Many of them were attached to articles about what our devices are doing to our relationships in families, in couples, in other things. This has become a mode of living, although I think some people are also pushing back on it right now. You see it in the restaurant. Four people, four devices. That's why that video was so humorous. An exaggeration, sure, but it was kind of humorous. Three guys, all sitting in a family room, all in communication with who knows, even each other. Okay, I've done it, folks. I'm downstairs watching TV. Sherry's upstairs watching a different channel. I text her. I've done it. She's done it too. I have not yet, that I can recall, maybe I have, you can correct me, Sherry, I have not yet sit in the same room with her and sent her a text, unless it was a humorous type of thing that I was trying to do. But this is what's beginning, more than beginning, this is what is taking place in our culture, and there's a concern about that amongst psychologists, amongst social workers, amongst the medical profession, as to what these devices are doing to relationships. Is it possible to be connected to our devices and deeply connected to our spouse or another person at the same time? Of course, the answer is no. But it's not just devices. When I am not hearing Sherry because I am reading the newspaper, and yes, I actually still get one of those things. You know, maybe you've seen them. They get delivered on people's front doors. They're wrapped together. They're made of paper. They have newsprint. Sometimes your fingers get ink on them. And, you know, I can get it on my device. I actually have it there when I don't get the physical. I like the physical paper. And Sherry has learned that if I'm reading the paper, it's not to disturb me, but I probably will not hear her. So she makes sure she gets my attention. And if she's not getting it, this is me. Is Rick, put the paper down. But I'm reading the funnies. And I have had to realize that, hey, if I'm going to have a good relationship with my spouse, there are times I need to disengage from whatever it is, the newspaper, the television show that I'm watching. You know, nowadays with DVRs and pauses and everything else, you don't have to wait for the commercial to have a conversation. But if I'm going to have a deep relationship with people that I love, it's not going to happen if I'm connected to devices at the same time. There needs to become a disconnection. So now I want to take us forward just a little bit to this scripture, and I've already quoted it to you, but it's coming up. It's from Psalms. It's the 46th Psalm and the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. What does it mean to know that He is God? Don't we all know that He is God? I mean, be still and know. We know He's God. I pray to Him because He's God. This word for know is a very interesting Hebrew word. And I'll teach just a little bit here before I wind it back down to the end. I'm going to teach just a little bit. This is a very unique Hebrew word. It's used multiple times throughout the Old Testament. It is the word yada, or yada. Some people pronounce it that way. It is the word yada. It has many different ways that it is translated in the Old Testament, but let me give you one of the first times yada is used in the Old Testament. It is Genesis chapter 4. It is verse number 1. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Then Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived." In the Hebrew, it says, "Adam yadad his wife Eve, and she conceived." The New Living Translation translates yada, not know or knew like the Old King James did. That's the Old King James. Adam knew his wife Eve. The New Living translate yada this way. Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. The word yada can be used for having intimate sexual relationships with your spouse. That's what it means to know in that context. In other contexts, it has no sexual connotation at all, but one of the overriding connotations throughout the Old Testament of this Hebrew word yada is closeness, intimacy, connectedness, a very special bond of relationship. And the Bible says, "Be still and yada that I am God." And I think what we're being challenged is this. Are we still enough to get to develop the close relationship for God? So another question for you, coming up on the screen, is this. Is it possible to know God without times of stillness? Is it possible to know God without times of stillness? And the answer is yes, there are. We can know God. But not the way we can know him. Yes, but there is a depth of relationship with God that can only be developed in stillness. This morning, I want to challenge you, as I am challenging myself, to walk deeper with God by building in stillness or by removing the distractions. Because we cannot be connected to our devices and deeply connected to God. We cannot know him. We cannot yada him if we are distracted and busy and our minds are going in 100 different directions. There is a need for us to find times of stillness, however that comes for you. Be still and know that I am God. So that means we're going to need to take some time, eliminate distractions, because God wants to get to know us in a deeper way. Actually, God wants us to get to know him. He knows us intimately. How many of you have as deep and as intimate of a relationship as God would have for you? I can honestly confess I have a very good relationship with God most of the time. But this past season, especially with the distractions that I brought with me to prayer, I have found, I thought I was controlling it well. Listen, and I'll just confess one incident that happened, and it's nothing wrong confessing, not like it's sin, but I'll confess one incident. In my devotions, many times, and some of you know, that when I'm trying to really separate from God, one of the things I do is I get out of my office. I cannot have a good relationship with God in my office because there's way too many distractions. There's people around. So I separate. And that's one of the reasons I believe that Jesus said, go to your closet. Go to a quiet place. Go to a place set aside and pray to your Father. And he said that in the book of Matthew. So I separate myself here to the sanctuary. And usually, if Christy or Jack or whoever's in the office, I'll let them know I'm going to the sanctuary. They usually know what that means. That means I'm not sweeping floors. I am coming to separate myself to be with God, to have some time of prayer, some time of study, some time of personal devotions. And for the most part, those take place upstairs in the balcony. That helps me to separate more. I don't know why. I just happen to like to sit up in the balcony. And in the winter, it's actually the warmest part of this facility because we don't have the heat very high, but at least it rises, so it's warmer up there. So I go up to the balcony. I was up in the balcony, and I was beginning to have a pretty good time with God, and sure enough, something came through. I had my phone with me, my device, and there was something I needed to take care of, so I took care of that thing, and then I saw something else, and then, okay, here's where my unspiritual side comes. Then there was a notification that a new record-breaking roller coaster was being built. A record-breaking roller coaster. Well, for those of you that know me, that will get my attention. And guess what I was doing for the next 10 to 15 minutes? It wasn't yada-ing with the Father. We need to learn how to be still and know. That's what our Father is asking us to do. We need to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus eliminated distractions for prayer. We need to start eliminating distractions. So I'm going to give you the solution, three quick things in your notes. As the worship team wants to make it back to the stage, they're going to lead us in a final song and a time for us to engage with our Father. Because I'm going to say this. I'm not against devices. I'm not against social media. I'm not against gaming. I'm not against YouTube. I'm not against many of the things that are online. But our relationships with others and our relationship with God can easily suffer because of them, so we must learn how to control them, to manage them, and how sometimes just to eliminate them. So I have three suggestions. These are three suggestions that I have implemented in my own life to spend more time in deep relationship with God. Number one, this takes discipline. I have to discipline myself to focus on what is important. Time with God, time in His Word. I have to just discipline myself. I have to tell myself no. No, I'm not taking my phone with me. No, I'm not going to respond to that if it is with me. No. That takes discipline. Second thing that I've had to do is I've had to priority. I've had to make a priority times with God without distraction. I've had to prioritize times with God where it is my Bible, a notebook, and a pen. I've had to prioritize that. And then the third thing is this, the off switch. If your device is going with you because it's in your purse or it's connected to your hip, or you're going to be far enough away that you can't just leave it in your office like I do, there's such a, well, at least mine has one. I think they still come with them. There's the off switch. You know, the funny thing about that video, but I've actually heard that it truly does take place, is there are those of us now in our culture, if we are disengaged from the internet doesn't work, there is a new anxiety level that rises. And I know it was exaggerated in that video, but they have actually diagnosed a new type of an anxiety of being disconnected. One way that they talk about it, and this is something, it's called FOMO. You've heard of FOMO? Fear of missing out. So you got to stay connected. FOMO. Use the off switch. Use the off switch with your loved ones. Use the off switch with God. Let us stop taking distractions with us when we go to meet with God. Let's follow Jesus' example because it said, and I'll read it again, He went out to an isolated place to pray. It took the others a while to find Him. He made sure He was isolated enough that He would not be disturbed. Can we follow His example? And let's see what it can begin to do with our life with God, because God says, hey, my people, listen up. Be still. Relax. Find some quiet. Be still. And I'm going to changes a bit, but it'll make sense. Be still so that you can know. You can know me differently. You can know me intimately. You can know that I am God. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, I've taken this challenge myself. It's been working into my life in a deeper way. Not that my relationship with you has totally fallen apart because of devices, but I have found that the distractions have impacted me in many ways. Lord, this morning, help us to become men and women who will begin to prioritize, will discipline ourselves, will use the off switch, will leave our phones away when we need to. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.